Ours to Protect. Brought to you by Sunshine 106.8. And the IBI is funded by Cumashun na Mban with the television license fee. Check out OursToProtect.ie for more info.
And good evening. You're very welcome now to Hours to Protect. And this, the first in a new weekly series here on Sunshine, where over the coming weeks and months, we will be putting the spotlight on climate change and helping to promote positive climate action. I'm Carol Dooley. Very shortly, I will be talking with the Minister for the Environment, Climate and Communications and Transport, Eamon Ryan. But first, what do you think about climate change and how does it impact you, if at all? Well, we sent our reporter, Max Kane, to find out.
Well, I think just like it is important, you know, to recycle and stuff like that and put things in, like, you know, the right bin, you know, I suppose. But just don't litter, I guess. Yeah, I think life's too short to be worrying about what goes in the right bin, what goes in the wrong bin, you know, whatever.
It's a head wreck, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. It is. I genuinely don't pay attention to any of it.
I do put things in the bin anyway.
I know, like, people are into, you know, everyone's very environmentally friendly nowadays, but I live in my own little bubble, I guess, and I just do what I like.
I try to look for the right bins, but sometimes it's confusing, so I just throw them in anywhere. But I would never litter anything. I always put everything in the bin or in my bag if there's none. I never throw anything away like that.
Just kind of like your green bin. Use your for your papers and anything that has the triangle thing. It's just basic knowledge that I have.
If it's possible, I try to buy something like this recyclable.
Well, it certainly sounds like we have a lot of work to do and a lot to learn as well. I'm delighted to be joined now by the Minister for the Environment, Climate and Communication and Transport, Eamon Ryan. Minister Ryan, thank you for joining us this evening. Now, this project, Ours to Protect, a collaboration with the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland and radio stations across the country, like ourselves, to broadcast programmes on climate change. And it was helped with funds from your department and indeed the Department of Minister Catherine Martin as well. And it might seem like an obvious question, but first of all, why did you think that this is something that was so important for you to support?
Well, I think first and foremost, there's a real value to having good journalism, having good TV and news, radio stations and print media in our country. Like, in a world which is full of disinformation and fake news and artificial intelligence, and you don't know who's telling the truth, supporting and funding Irish media to be able to kind of discuss and highlight and explain and give a platform to understand the kind of, particularly this huge issue facing us, how we kind of maintain the stable natural systems. You know, that's so big and it's so sometimes hard to kind of come to terms with, to comprehend, that we do need to be able to do that in a public forum, and radio stations and other media provide that space. And it's to support that and allow people to be creative in how they do that is why that support and that program was put in place. So I'm really glad it's working now. I'm really glad it's adding to the national conversation. And I think it'll be of interest to your listeners, because we did a big survey, the EPA did a big survey, what was called Climate in the Irish Mind. And actually was really interesting. It showed that the vast majority of people, over 80%, saw climate action as something that they wanted to be part of, or they wanted to take action against and they were concerned about. There were about 3 or 4% were what you might call kind of, you know, denying the science. But what I think a lot of people want to know is, well, what can we do about it and be better informed? And that's what this program is about.
Can I just talk to you a moment about the Ireland's action plan for 2023? Because from what I understand, one of the aims there is the 75% reduction in emissions by 2030, which is by using more renewable energy like solar and wind, etc. So how confident are you that this is something that we can achieve in the next 7 years?
I think we can. I think it'll be really challenging. It's a huge change. But I think it'll only work if it's a change for the better. Like, I think if we depict this as, you know, oh, you're the problem and you're at fault and you're the bold person, or you're, you know, you need to stop doing everything you're doing and wear a hair shirt for the next 7 years, that won't work. If you look at what we actually can do to make this switch, where we rely on our own renewable energy, which we have in abundance, where we change the way we move around because the current system is very congested and time wasteful, and electrify everything, I think we can make the leap, and I think we'll make it sooner, where it's both towards a better system and it is done in a fair way, that it is what they call a just transition. So it's not easy. It'll take the decade to start turning the ship around, but I think it is happening, and I think the Irish people want to do it.
There's some very positive moves going on at the moment, I'm sure you'll agree. For instance, the zero rate of VAT for the supply and installation of solar panels for private dwellings, which just came into effect on the 1st of May. There must be other areas that you'd like to see this extended into.
Well, I think the solar revolution is one of the examples, the perfect example of that, moving towards a better system. And even in Ireland, which, you know, we're not that sunny a country, but it actually complements what we have in wind power, and it can be done in a range of different ways. So you're right, the change in VAT, and not just that, I suppose the high price of the gas and electricity bills has seen a real explosion in interest. Like I was in the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland earlier today, and they were saying to me the applications in May were just off the roof, excuse the pun, but there were huge increase in applications. I think we could do the same on farms. I think we can do the same on businesses. So any factory with a large south-facing roof is perfect, because there what you're doing is you're actually reducing your own bill. You're actually and that's a really win-win, because then you don't need to build big electricity grid to get the power to the company or to the farm. You can generate and use yourself. So I think the solar revolution is one that people are going to start to see. People are going to start to notice. This summer, we'll start putting solar panels on every single school in the country, which we'll roll out in the next 3 years. So I think that would be one of the more visible ways. There are others, particularly the really big projects would be going offshore. We've just concluded a very successful auction where the developers have bid in to try and win the contracts, and they bid in at prices that are very low. They're much lower than almost half the current price from other power supply sources. So I think that, and that would be partly controversial. Like there will be, you know, there'll be issues along the East Coast, around Dublin, Wicklow, where, you know, this turbines will be within sight of the shore. But I think the real advantage is it gives us a secure supply, and as I said, it's lower cost than the alternatives. And then one of the third areas, I suppose, where I see change coming, and it's happening, is in the switch to public transport and to walking and cycling. And I say it's happening because we reduced the price of tickets of public transport by 50% for those under 24 and by 20% for everyone else. And actually what's happened is we now have public transport numbers back beyond what they were before COVID, and we're unusual in that. We are going to, and again, this won't be without its complications, we're going to give more space for the bus and for cycling and walking to make it safer. And I think my sense is the Irish people support that. I think any time where we've provided good quality public transport in Dublin or elsewhere, we've seen people flock to it. And I think that's the other third thing that's starting to change, where we start to see things moving in what I see is the right direction. And I think none of these will be easy. None of them will be out without people saying, but what about this, that or the other? But I think it is a switch to the better. And I think it's in that way we'll make the change and the leap we need to make. Yeah.
It's just making sure, isn't it, that we have the public transport system in place so that it is a valid or a viable choice for people, you know, that they can leave their car at home because they know there's going to be a train or a bus or whatever that's going to get them in a timely fashion to where it is they want to get.
Yeah, no, you have to. I said it won't work if it's a shaming, blaming, trying to price people off the roads. I don't think that's the right approach. I think what you need to do is provide a better alternative. So I think people are hungry for that. And I think our job is to provide those better bus and rail and walking and cycling alternatives.
And of course, we saw this week too, College Green is now closed to private cars. So can you see that this is something which could be extended to other areas across Dublin or across the country?
I think so. And I think we need to do that reasonably quickly, because you know, this is the decade where the change has to take place. We are in a world where the planet is burning, and we have to be part of the solution. And so, yes, there will be other areas in the centre of Dublin and elsewhere. And I give an example where I think it's worked. I think the example, and maybe people of your listeners will have different views, but I think what was done in Dunleary along, I don't know if you've been out along the seafront in Dunleary from Black Rock pretty much all the way to Sandy Cove. I think the reallocation of space there, which was done with a very low cost, done very quickly. And I think it's transformed the sense of place because it's quieter. It's more, I mean, okay, that's a very beautiful area where there's, you know, such a stunning view and you can go for a swim and everything. But it really has transformed the sense of place. And even the likes of Black Rock Village, which was, anyone with memory of it going back, it was, God, it wasn't exactly thriving. And it is now, because I think we made it a beautiful place. And I think that's possible right across Dublin. Like, we've got these Pathfinder projects, 35 of them, and they're designed to be delivered quickly, and they're designed to replicate that. So there's one in Tala. There's a number of projects, that city centre project I mentioned as an example, where we create, every place is special, every person is special in that place, but by making it, kind of designing it around the making it a beautiful local environment, a place that you would want to hang out, a place that it is safe to walk through and cycle around, and where public transport is fast, I think that's what we're going to have to do. And I think by doing it by examples like that first in Tala and the city centre, and then replicating elsewhere, that's how we'll make this happen. And change is never easy. Like, change is always much easier sometimes, you know, kind of leave as is and do nothing. But I don't think that's the right option. I think the Irish public and the people of Dublin particularly are ready to make this change because they've seen when we do it that it does actually work. I'll give an example, like Capel Street. Capel Street was the real controversy around, would you take the traffic out of Capel Street? I don't think anyone now is arguing that we go back because I think they see it. It has transformed Capel Street, what's happened there. So we need a lot more Capel Streets, in my mind, right across the city as part of the change we need to make.
Just to go back then to our Hours to Protect initiative, because I know you're on the clock there. I mean, at the end of this, of 52 weeks, which sounds like a long time, but actually, as we know, time goes by very quickly and the year will be up before we know it. What would you really like to have happened by the end of it? What message would you really like to get home?
In this programme and this project, I think it's people being better informed. I think it's people being more knowledgeable and kind of maybe inspired even. This is about kind of sharing stories, inspiring with stories, and also informing in a way that it kind of, because people, you could spend the whole time, you know, watching a television, or here's another program now where people are giving us a tale of woe and destruction, and that can lead to a very anxious kind of feeling, you know, where there's all these big threatening things happening and I don't know what I can do about them, or I don't know if there's anything I can control, or do we have a future? We do, if we act collectively and in a coordinated way. But that starts first and foremost with the sense of understanding and a sense of there being a story that actually, do you know what, I'm at the centre, I'm going to be part of the solution here. And it's not like anyone's looking over my shoulder or blaming me or pointing the finger, but I'm going to do it because it's a better way of going forward. And it's part of what it means to be Irish. And it's part of what it means to be proud of my city or my village or my community. I think that's the most important. It's that sense, it's an emotional connection and feeling to this change that we need to make, so that we own it, so that it's part of what we are. I think that's the most important thing out of it.
Couldn't agree more. I don't know what bell is going there in the background.
It sounds like the Dáil Éireann. Dáil Éireann is a bit like, I'm in the Dáil, and it's a bit like a monastery, I joke sometimes. It's like an enclosed order where and we're called to order by bells every now and then. That was the bell.
I was just going to say it, either that or the dinner bell or something. Thank you so much for taking your time. A pleasure to talk with you. And I do hope, as we continue now through this series, that you will come back on and talk to us, perhaps at various intervals, to update us on what's happening and what the plans are and how we're all doing. It will be lovely to talk with you again. Minister Enright, thank you very much. Thank you.
A pleasure to have the Minister on with us this evening. It's Sunshine 106.8 and this is Ours to Protect, the first in a series of new weekly features where we will be putting the spotlight on climate change, promoting climate action through awareness and offering advice on what we can all do to help protect the planet. And we would very much like your input as well on the programme and the topics that you would like us to cover over the next weeks and indeed months. So if you go to our website, you'll see a survey there. So we would very much appreciate if you would fill that in, and then we will make sure to cover the topics which are of particular interest to you. sunshineradio.ie/ours to protect. Protecting the planet, promoting climate action and bringing awareness on the things that we can all do to help protect the planet that we're living on, a journey towards a more green and sustainable future for us all. I'm Carol Dilley, delighted now to be joined by Aideen O'Hora from Sustainability Works. And Aideen, before we talk about your involvement in Ours to Protect, this new Independent Broadcasters of Ireland initiative, can you tell us first about Sustainability Works itself and what it is that your company actually does?
Good evening, Carol. Yes, so Sustainability Works, we're a sustainability consultancy firm, and we primarily help businesses understand what they need to do to be more kind of sustainable in their practices, whether that's environmental sustainability or social sustainability, so how they protect people and planet. We work with a wide range of companies across multiple sectors, but one of the sectors that we do work with is with the broadcasting sector.
So tell us therefore about the Broadcasting Sustainability Network, and then in particular the Ours to Protect initiative, and why you think it is so important for broadcasters like ourselves and across the country to be involved in this over the next 52 weeks.
So we really believe that broadcasters have a huge opportunity to help citizens and people understand what climate change means and how and what actions they can take in their own homes and in their own lives. And because of that, we've been working quite closely with the Commission Amman, and we are the sustainability coordinators or the coordinators of the Broadcasting Sustainability Network. And the Broadcasting Sustainability Network was founded in 2020. And it's where it brings Irish broadcasters together to learn, to share knowledge and experience, and to, I suppose, partner on sustainability initiatives and campaigns. So it's a very powerful network in that, you know, broadcasters are, you know, you're reaching into people's homes. You are, you know, a lot of people rely on you for their information. So you have a really big ability to influence. So I suppose for us, there is a why as to why it is important for broadcasters to be involved in climate change, in that, you know, you are first and foremost, you know, you're storytellers. You're really good at kind of making kind of really complex issues, which can often feel very abstract. You're really good at kind of, I suppose, simplifying those issues down to something that your audience and listeners can understand and relate to and connect with and feel empowered to take action. So, you know, and I suppose you're able to make those stories relatable because you're drawing on maybe knowledge or content that you have from your local area and your local community and your network of listeners. So I suppose you have that just really strong kind of communication skills, which, you know, we desperately need because we need more people to understand and feel empowered to take action.
I was speaking earlier on this evening, Aideen, to Minister Eamon Ryan, and he was saying, you know, in his journey across the country, that more and more people now are becoming not only aware of climate change and the impact of climate change, but actually of what they can do and how they can play their part, even on a small level, to help combat that. Are you finding in your experience, particularly going into business, that this is the case? Because when I speak to people, my impression is that there is still a lot of confusion out there as to what is the right thing to do, what actually is out there to, you know, to support us in our mission, and where do we, for some of us, even begin?
You're absolutely right, Cara. So I think there is a growing awareness of the issue and what it means. But I think it is a it's still a very complex topic. People are generally very overwhelmed by it, whether as an individual or as a business. And I suppose we really feel that we've got to help people and understand the actions they can take and help them prioritize those actions, because there's lots of things you can take and there's lots of things you can either spend your money on, I mean, whether it's solar panels for your house or buying an electric car, but they might not necessarily be the right decision for you. So I suppose, you know, there is quite a bit of work yet to be done to simplify it and almost give people a kind of a hit list of here are the top 10 actions you can take to have the biggest impact. So definitely feel that the Hours to Protect project can really help with that, really help kind of communicate the fundamentals of climate change and wider environmental issues, but really help kind of give people kind of very practical tips of some of the simple things, simple actions they can take in their daily life, which, you know, don't require any investment at all. Potentially also giving some information and tips on kind of bigger decisions they might need to make, maybe around making their homes more energy efficient. So there's a huge task of work there, and delighted that the Hours to Protect and all the radio stations and broadcasters involved will, you know, kind of contribute to that conversation.
Well, certainly over the next 52 weeks, we're very much looking forward to putting the spotlight, so to speak, on a number of different areas, which we hope will not only educate our listeners, but also encourage them to take, you know, the steps necessary that we all need to take in order to protect our planet. In fairness, that for most of us starts at home, actually, because if we all do our bit at home, then you have the ripple effect of that. But obviously, too, as I mentioned at the beginning, you're very much as part of sustainability. Sustainability Works involved in advising businesses. So I'm very much looking forward to having you back on with us, Aideen, to talk about how that works in businesses across the country, what businesses are doing, and perhaps then what a lot of business should consider doing in order to make their premises and their business a more sustainable place for their employees.
And we'd be delighted to come on and share our experience, Carl. And when we talk to business, you know, very often we always think of climate change in a very negative way. But I suppose we really do feel that we can flip the conversation, flip the narrative, if you like, to being one of opportunity. So, you know, there is an opportunity there for business to, I suppose, pivot their businesses to be more resource efficient, to maybe change the types of products they're selling to kind of greener, more environmentally friendly products that consumers and customers want to buy. So we look at this through the lens of opportunity rather than a kind of a negative doom and gloom lens, which we also find is a really good way of, I suppose, helping people feel empowered to take action and feel that there is hope.
Absolutely. Well, as I said, I'm very much looking forward to having that conversation, many conversations with you, no doubt, over the next few months. And in the meantime, if anybody wants to find out more about what it is and the services that you provide, they can go to your website, sustainabilityworks.ie. Aideen O'Hara, thank you very much for taking the time to chat with us this evening, and look forward to catching up with you again soon.
That's great. Thanks for having me on.
It's Sunshine 106.8, Dublin's easy place to relax. I'm Carol Dooley. This is Hours to Protect, the first in a new weekly series here on Sunshine, where we will be putting the focus on climate change and promoting positive action to take better care of our planet and to live more sustainable and greener lives. And here's a question for you now. If I were to ask you what your ecological footprint is, would you know what the answer is? Would you even know exactly what it is in the first place? Well, the ecological footprint is the only metric that compares the resource demand of individuals, governments and businesses against Earth's capacity for biological regeneration. And we actually have a tool where you can calculate your own ecological footprint on the Sunshine website. I just did mine for myself, and to say that I was
horrified, frankly, at the results is a bit of an understatement. So go do it yourself and you might very well be surprised too. sunshineradio.ie/hours-to-protect has all the information there and indeed has all the information about what this whole project is about. Our final guest this evening, last but by no means least, is the CEO of Sunshine 106.8, Sean Ashmore. Sean, thanks for joining us this evening. And can you tell us this initiative, Hours to Protect, which is a project by the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland, and there are a number of radio stations across the country taking part in this. Can you tell us why you decided that you wanted Sunshine to be a part of this as well? Why is it so important?
Well, look, it's a really good initiative, and it is part of a wider initiative that's taking place across a network of stations right across the country. And, you know, we're happy to be taking part from a Dublin point of view. And there's so much happening in Dublin and probably so much that needs to be highlighted in Dublin that, you know, we're really, really happy and privileged to be able to kind of do this over the next year on the station. The Broadcasting Authority of Ireland initiated this project last year, looked for stations to come on board. We were happy to step up to the mark and get involved.
And what would you see as being the main objective for Sunshine, not just for Sunshine ourselves as a radio station, but for our listeners?
Well, I think there's so much going on around the city and indeed across the country that should be highlighted. And certainly, you know, in some of the research that has been done before this has been launched, there is definitely an appetite and a need for people to find out more. People want to kind of be told about the things that they can consider doing to reduce their carbon footprint, to be more sustainable, to be more eco-friendly. And I suppose what we're hoping is that by the end of this process, over the next 52 weeks, that we've highlighted enough practical things that people can easily make part of their day-to-day life, that when they're making decisions about travel, about home renovations, about how they live their lives, that we'll have provided enough information on air and online to help them do that easily. And, you know, we're delighted to be playing our part in helping highlight all the things that people can look at, practical things that people can consider doing.
But you also, as CEO of Sunshine, I mean, you've always been very conscientious, haven't you, about the carbon footprint, and even for us as a radio station, about what we do ourselves, what we can do.
I think there's a number of things that we've been doing that we're happy to highlight. We changed our transmission equipment last year to equipment that is significantly more efficient. So, you know, we're helping to reduce our own carbon footprint. The whole pandemic and COVID thing has kind of prompted us to look in more practical ways at allowing staff to remote work. Again, reducing carbon footprint, taking congestion off the roads around the offices here for when they are occupied. It's replacing traditional lighting with LED lighting. It's getting rid of the light switches and putting in occupancy sensors. And there's a bunch of other things we're doing around electric vehicles and so on, which are practical things the company can do. And in a lot of cases, cost saving as well. So, you know, there's a benefit to the company other than just doing the right thing.
So just very briefly then, Sean, looking ahead to the next 12 months. So every week we will be putting the spotlight, so to speak, on something that's happening either, you know, through the work of a local business or perhaps a school or a government department or an environmental volunteer group or whatever. So just give us an idea of the types of things that we will be talking about and inviting our listeners perhaps to maybe even get involved with themselves over the next year.
You know, at the beginning of this, we looked at it and we said, you know, actually a year is quite long. Will we have enough to fill it? And very quickly we realised, actually a year won't be long enough. You know, as a weekly feature, this could run and run and run. But certainly our plan now is to do it over the next year as part of this wider network around the country. But it's all the practical things around travel, around electric vehicles, around insulation, looking at heat pumps. You know, highlighting some of the other work that's happening beyond people's kind of day-to-day lives, stuff that's happening kind of, you know, on your doorstep that you may not realise, highlighting some of the issues and maybe facilitating some of the debate around offshore wind power, you know, because there's two projects have just been approved off the coast of Dublin. Some people have concerns about those. Some people are very happy about it. We'll certainly be highlighting that over the year. And I think the other thing that will happen is that although we have a long list and we're looking at it thinking, well, there's actually far more to talk about that maybe we'll cover in the first year. Undoubtedly, there'll be other things that will come up that we don't even know about.
Absolutely.
At the moment that will be definitely worth including.
Yeah, well, you start talking to one person, then you realise that they know somebody who's doing something else that you hadn't perhaps even thought about.
And there's a lot of that, I'm sure, going on.
And I think that'll be the benefit of not just this series on Sunshine, but you know what'll be happening across broadcasters across Ireland over the next year, highlighting all of the good things that are happening and putting ideas into people's heads about how they can change in a practical way.
Yeah, and can I also say to anybody listening in that if you are yourself involved in something where you're trying to protect the environment or doing your own bit as perhaps as a group, to please get in touch with us. And also, not only are we doing this on air, but a reminder to keep an eye on our website as well, because we'll be updating people on how this is all developing over the next 12 months.
Yeah, so as a weekly feature, it'll be podcast. So if you can't hear it at the time of broadcast, this week's edition and all the previous editions will be available on the station's website. We're going to have weekly tip sheets that people can download and get further information on some of the things we've been talking about. And it'll be part of a wider website called ourstoprotect.ie, where there'll be information from right around the country. So it's going to be a huge resource that people can trawl through and find the things that interest them most.
Well, looking forward now to this positive journey and making a very positive change, hopefully, to all our lives over the next 12 months.
For sure.
Sean Ashmore, CEO of Sunshine, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you to all our guests this evening, Minister Eamon Ryan and Aideen O'Hara from Sustainability Works. And thank you for listening too. I'm Carol Dooley. This has been Ours to Protect, the first in a new weekly series here on Sunshine. And I very much look forward to another edition just after 7 next Monday evening. In the meantime, you can find out more about the project and the initiative at sunshineradio.ie/Ours to Protect.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Sunshine 106.8 and the IBI, is funded by Cumashun na Mban with the television license fee. Check out OursToProtect.ie for more info.